This time, we're going to be doing a deep dive with a guy who is absolutely crushing it in direct marketing. But Ryan Allaire's story starts out when he and his family were living in a cramped motel room. So I think this is going to be a really fascinating and inspirational conversation. He's also one of the most energetic guys you're ever going to meet. Ryan, it's a real pleasure to connect with you.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. It's such great to be here and so awesome to be here.
Well, I'm really looking forward to chatting with you, Ryan, because your story couldn't be more rags to riches. Is it true you got started in marketing at just the tender age of 13?
Yes, it is. And you're right. It's kind of the cliche, you know, rags to riches story, which, I kind of struggle with because I'm like, oh, it's just another, you know, story. But to me, it's been a unique experience. It started at the age of 13. Like you said in the intro, growing up in a motel room is a true story. I grew up and or I take it back. We lived out of a motel room for a while, grew up in Florida, and we were there for probably over a year, closer to two. And, you know, it was a humbling time. My parents always struggled with making money. And, you know, I've always watched them struggle with that. And then I had a friend and his parents, and it was like the complete opposite. It's like everywhere we went, it's like money was just running into them, right? And they right. couldn't repel it. It was just so interesting how I would watch someone struggle and someone make it so effortlessly and have multiple nice vehicles and multiple homes and, vacation homes and had multiple states and, you know, just this completely different life because here we are trying to make it in a motel room. And then my parents rented homes. We got evicted. We'd have the electricity turned off, the water turned off. And, you know, it's funny. Some nights we would have candles. And looking back, you know, some of those were the best moments with my siblings and with my family. And, you know, my parents are great people. I love them. They're probably the hardest workers I know, if I'm being truthful and transparent. They are super hard workers. But the irony of all this and what it taught me at a young age is not really just how hard you work. It's also how you work and how you apply the work you're doing. Because I watched my mentor, I mean, and he worked hard, but not nowhere near, you know, and my mom would detail boats. She worked in a fruit field and, you know, they gathered oranges and they, you know, get them ready and polish them to sell in farmers markets and fruit stands. My dad was in sales, so I kind of got that from him. And he would work these long hours, doing these moving sales jobs. And I'd watch them work all the time, but never get ahead, you know, there's been times, you know, in the States, they have an income tax, right, where you get back a portion of your taxes. So, you know, for about a week or two, we'd go all out, right? And it's kind of looking back, the typical poor thing poor people do. You blow all your money, right, the second you get some. But we go to the carnival. You know, my parents did the best they could, just to be fair, and I love them to death. But the crazy part is at this, at 13 years old, the writing on the wall was very clear, right? Meaning it's not just how hard you work, it's working hard and working smart at the same time. And this is how I got into direct mail. My mentor I worked in a mail room. I would walk in, and funny story, I was actually working at a golf course and also McDonald's before this. This was kind of a part-time thing I would do with my friend whenever I was with him. We'd go into his parents' office, his dad's office, and then we would do odd jobs for, you know, $20, $50. And, you know, we'd help with something small. And, you know, to me, that was exciting because I got to bring home some money and make some money while I was there. And I ended up actually transitioning from working at McDonald's at 14 and also this golf course to working for them full time because I realized I could work in a nice, cool office. The golf course was super hot and a lot of hard work. You know, I'm weed whipping around lakes and divots and all these things on the golf course in Florida. So just imagine that. And then McDonald's, I don't care where you are in the world, right? A greasy fast food restaurant is never fun, right? And so, you know, that's any climate. So I realized, hey, I can make more money than all my friends. I can sit in this really nice, cushy chair in this beautiful office. And I worked inside of a mail room, meaning I would help get direct mail piece mailings ready, send them out. Then we would fulfill different products that they were selling through the mail. And this is when it came full circle. And I, because I got to see exactly how it worked, because I knew it started out with them sending out a 4-page letter, 6-page letter, sometimes a 10-page letter, but basically a bundle of paper, right? They'd mail it out. And then from there, I would watch them sell products that would range from $20, $40, $50, $100. And then some products were even thousands, which I'll talk more about that in a second. Those are things they would sell on the back end. But anyway, so I would watch this process and I'm like, wow, you know, literally these people are making millions of dollars by sending out a couple pieces of paper.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, postage, the envelope, and selling these products. And in the time, it was in personal development. This was in the late 90s going into the early 2000s. And Mary Kay was very popular. And they actually had product packages and books and things that would help a lot of Mary Kay agents and people that, you know, were in the Mary Kay cosmetic business. And it was interesting because I got to see people from all walks of life. You know, what was funny is you could always spot the Mary Kay ladies because their email addresses would be like, you know, pinkcadillacdrivingbetty@gmail.com. And I don't know if you know this, but in the Mary Kay business, when you achieve a certain level, they gift you a car, but you have to paint it pink. And actually, it was Cadillacs. So what's funny, and get this, this is crazy. I was actually driving one of my sports cars down the road, and I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm like, that's an interesting Cadillac, because it was like this magenta pink. It was a really interesting color pink. And I got closer up to it, and sure enough, it said Mary Kay Specialist, and it had her website below it.
Brilliant.
So today, in 2021, they are still giving out pink Cadillacs, which is pretty funny. But yeah, so it was crazy, right? Because it was just all walks of life, from younger people, Mary Kay specialists. You know, I would go ahead, and I worked in the mailroom, and then finally I would hear my so it was a kind of a family business where my friend worked there. His dad owned the business. His parents were working there as well, and they were retirement age. You know, the one was an educator in school, public schools here in America. So he was working there, and it actually had like 20 staff members total. And so I would go from the mail room to I'd walk over when the phones would get busy, and I would pick up the phone just to help basically take orders over the phone. Because what happened is they would mail out a direct mail piece, and then people would get those. And the internet was still kind of new, but they had the capability to go online and check out, but it was still a newer thing. Most people either sent back the order form with a check, money order, cash, or they filled out a credit card on the order form, or they would call in the office and place an order that way. Again, funny story, kind of like the Mary Kay story, right? Almost 20 years later, we still do the exact same process.
Right.
Where in my office, we collect stacks of cash. Crash is still people send. It's very minimal, just to be fair. It's probably, you know, 0.5% of our sales comes in through cash. But it's funny, people will still send $97 in the mail to get a product package. And we still take orders over the phone. Funny story, my mentor would have people fax in their orders every single day. Now, up into 2021, we probably get one or two a month. But believe it or not, people still fax in an order. It boggles my mind. I don't even have a fax machine. If you, I think it's through like 1-800 conference call. They have a fax line you can buy for like $20 a month or something. So I keep that just in case. For giggles. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, if the internet goes down, I can send out faxes or don't get.
Because what year was it that you got started?
So this is in the early 2000s.
Okay.
Is in this era. So get this, right? You're thinking, okay, how'd you get into the internet marketing scene? And just to kind of bridge that gap really quick, my mentor had a mentor named Corey Rudel, and he's out of Canada. And I don't know if you guys have heard of him, but he basically started internetmarketing.com was his website, and Tony Hsieh, the owners of Zappos, you know, credited him and was his mentor. Jermaine Griggs, who's like the poster child for Infusionsoft, and he has Heron Play Music, came in through him. And I could list the internet marketing veterans and, you know, for the next hour, name people that are doing huge things today and have been for the last couple decades that came up under Corey. And Corey told my mentor, like, hey, writing's on the wall, the internet is where to go. And he said, you should really be focused on internet. See, do the same thing you're doing offline, because basically we'd had a name and address and we would send them a physical piece of mail. He said, well, now you have a name and email address. You can email them and save the money on your hard costs. We still were continuing to do direct mail because it was actually the bread and butter. And I'll talk about this more in a second, the most highest converting stuff, and still is to this day. But the fact was, is people were also doing a lot of online marketing. So what happened was, my mentor saw the writing on the wall, and we had a CRM, a client resource management software, that we would physically punch in all of our direct mail orders. So someone bought offline, they paid cash, they've sent in a money order, we'd put in their first name, last name, the product they purchased, and then their email address. And this was back when everyone had either an AOL email address or a Yahoo email address, were the two big providers back then. And my mentor noticed in the CRM, you could push a button and email your entire customer base, right? So I don't know if you ever heard of the product called the Butterfly Marketing, but it was with Mike Filsaime. He did $1 million a day promoting it. And my mentor sold over $150,000 worth of – we were number two affiliate behind Rick Raddatz. Russell Brunson was behind us.
Wow.
This is dating ourselves. Yeah. And how basically we ranked in that product launch was by emailing our direct mail customer base. And from there, right, we would sell out events, workshops. Michael Chaney, we were actually his very first speaking gig in 2008. He came over with Laura, and he's a, you know, a marketing legend in the UK. But he was one of the early adapters that was crushing it on ClickBank and these affiliate platforms. But yeah, so it was crazy how, you know, we still continue to mail, and we always mail, and we never stopped that. But from that point forward, we would include email marketing. Teleseminars was a big thing. So we would email people and send out direct mail pieces, pushing everyone to a teleseminar. Now we know it's all, you know, webinars and interviews like this and podcasts. So it's kind of funny because the teleseminar stuff's kind of coming back in different forms, and podcast, Clubhouse, for example. It's just a complete audio, you know, thread. But yeah, it's kind of funny to watch the evolution. Because so to answer your question, sorry for the long drawn answer, 13 is when I got my start, in the early 2000s. And that's how we went from an offline marketing company to an offline marketing company and an online marketing company, was basically through the industry and through mentors and people that were paving the way to where we're at today.
And just keeping that vision, yeah, I guess, of what may come next, so that, you know, you're always able to maneuver into those new markets. And I guess a question for you, Ryan, would be for anybody who's listening or reading this who doesn't really understand the differences between internet marketing and direct mail or direct marketing, could you just maybe give us your view on that?
Yeah, 100%. So how I would compare the two is, one is a virtual online process, where the other one is an offline and physical, right? So instead of seeing it virtually through a Facebook ad, Instagram ad, YouTube video, social media post, an email, right? Those are all online touch points. And what we focus on is long form sales letters, postcards. We even send out what we call lumpy mail. And actually, Nick and Kate do an amazing job with this, where they send out an entire product package. And we do the same in several different industries that we market and serve. And really what we do is, you know, what I love about direct mail and you know, you can be as inexpensive as, you know, 17, 20 cents for a mass market, you know, postcard flyer, or you can spend you know, 85 cents to a couple dollars and send out a more, you know, bulkier package or a product kit. And then you can spend dozens of dollars, right, and fulfill big product packages. But the point is anything, you know, that they're receiving physically is direct mail and offline. And really, so the next question is, okay, Ryan, when do we know to spend the 17 cents or the $50, right? And for me, how I gauge that is from what we're selling, right? So if someone's coming in as a lower ticket, you know, responder off of one of our direct mail pieces, meaning they're spending $20, $50, anything under $100, then depending on how much they spend is what they're receiving in the mail. It could be as simple as a poster and a USB or a, you know, 10-page booklet, mm-hmm. Or, you know, USBs, an entire product series, DVDs, booklets, manuals, more books, and, you know, a step-by-step process for them to maneuver through the content. So you can get as elaborate as you want. But to answer your question, direct mail is anything in the physical form. So, you know, where we focus at is basically making that touch point, because here's the thing, right? Tony Robbins taught this back in, I want to say the early 2000s or mid 2000s, was these touch points. And it was with Stanford University, a business school. And basically for someone to purchase a product, you had to have, you know, 6, 8, 10 touch points for them to buy. So let's say, for example, McDonald's, you hear the jingle, you get the coupon, you see the big golden arches on the billboard, you drive by and, you know, you get a radio ad, and, you know, you get your newspaper clipping in the mail, right? But the point is after 6, 8 times of those touch points, you would go in and consume a product, buy, you know, a Cappy Meal or a Big Mac. Now, fast forward to today, they did the same study, you know, a decade and a half, 2 decades later, and those touch points have skyrocketed. We're talking, you know, dozens of touch points for people to buy. And why is that? Because we're in this digital era, right? Mm-hmm. We're on 10 different apps. We have multiple email accounts, right? Back in the day, when you would hear the "you got mail" iconic AOL message, you run over and you would check your mail. Right? Nowadays, you want to even, you know, check your mail, your virtual mailbox. But what's funny is it's happened basically to go 360, where people are excited to check their mailbox because of Amazon, getting packages, whatever the case may be. And back then, people dreaded checking their mailbox because you got tons of junk mail. So it's kind of funny how we're in this renaissance. It's kind of gone 360. Yeah. And what I love is direct mail is the only marketing option that you can basically have a touch point and, you know, go ahead and remarket to someone over and over and over again, because people call our office and they say that. They say, "Oh, your booklet's been sitting on my table for the last 2 weeks and I've been going through it." A Facebook ad, an Instagram ad, you know, once they get the ad, sure, you can do retargeting and spend more money. But what I love about direct mail is once you have that piece out, you can continue making that touch point and continue marketing to them without spending more money. Right? So that's what I love about direct mail, is it basically lets you connect that dot without, you know, and make that touch point without continuing to reinvest and spend more. And does that mean people don't throw out the mail? Of course they do, right? And people will eventually maybe toss a book. But the point is in our experience, it's your biggest bang for your buck, because that physical piece can circulate. You can make it into a poster. You can make it into a mini billboard, a resource. And that's what we do when we use our direct mail. So literally, you know, you can take up real estate in someone's home, in someone's office, and, you know, someone's work area. Where before, right, on an email, a digital ad, you can't do that, right? It's once they see it, it's done. They keep scrolling and whatever the case may be.
And you're right, absolutely right. I think that the inbox has become, you know, busier and busier and busier. And the impact of an email years ago was it, great, I've got an email, I will read it immediately. And these days, of course, we all receive so many emails that those messages start to drop down our inbox really, really quickly. So if somebody doesn't read that email straight away, almost the impact of it can be lost, you know, forever. Whereas with a direct mail piece that lands on the doormat, you know, there's less traffic now on the doormat than there perhaps has ever been. So it means that your message is printing through a lot clearer than it is if you're just sending emails.
Yeah, you're 100% right. 100% right.
Now, a lot of people who perhaps are listening or reading this may be a little bit cautious of direct mail and getting involved in it themselves because of the actual cost. Email these days is seen as free. What's your take on that, Ryan?
Well, it's kind of funny, right? Because even email technically isn't free, right? Because you have to spend money to accumulate the list. And sure, right? You can make a TikTok video or be the biggest YouTube star next or whatever, right? And get free traffic and build a list. But in reality, right? Let's just kind of paint the picture clear here. The odds of doing that is almost like the odds of hitting the lottery, right? Meaning you're going to be the next TikTok star and make millions by posting a video or, you know, this have a built-in audience. So the truth is no matter which way you slice it, if you're starting a business and you're marketing online, even email marketing costs money if it's solo ads, if you're driving social media traffic. So I think every serious business owner understands that, you know, the lifeblood of any business is marketing. You got to pay to acquire your ads. I know, Nick and Kate do tons of direct mail, right? And so they get the concept. They also do tons of, online ads and paid traffic. So when it comes down to it, the cost is actually much more less than your traditional ad costs, right? And we look at it as customer acquisition. And, you know, because the truth is you can spend $50 to acquire a $10 sale on, you know, Facebook ads and you're doing good because ideally, right, you have a funnel and then that $10 sale will equate to hundreds within the funnel. And then the back end is where people make their money. So again, I'm kind of going into the book funnel, right, process. But traditionally, it's how it works, right, is you spend a dollar to make two or spend a dollar to make one. So you have the chance to make more on the back end. And what I love about direct mail is at a 1% conversion rate, and we hit 2-3%. Our last mailing did a 6% conversion.
Wow.
But let's just say a 1% conversion rate at a $97 price point, you're in the profit just by sending out a direct mail piece. Meaning you send out 1,000 pieces, right? It's going to cost you $850. That's including the list fee to send out the 1,000 pieces. And that's give or take depending on how big your mailing is. So just using, you know, round numbers here. But the cool part is at a $97 price point, right, you get a 1% on 1,000 pieces, that's 10 sales. You just made $970 on the $850, right? Just basic math. Mm-hmm. And what I love about it is if you have any marketer that hears this knows what I'm talking about, you make your money on the back end. So you don't make your money, for example, Russell is a good friend of ours, and we were in his top 10 affiliates when they launched ClickFunnels. How we did it was we send out a direct mail postcard, and we emailed their buyer base, pushing the book. The truth is Russell or myself didn't make money selling the book, right, .com secrets. Where we made our money was the back-end subscription to the software, which everyone knows is their big funnel builder. I won't name it by name, but people can read between the lines, right? But you that's where you make your money, right? Is the back end software, the back end service, the back end offer, whatever it may be. So, you know, same thing applies for the direct mail campaign. If you have your front end offer between $50 to $100 and getting between 1-2% conversion, you're in the money just off of your front end push. Now we all know, right, why we do this is the back end offers and helping people more and bringing people down the customer path of serving. And when you do all those things, gradually you charge more money because you're servicing, 10%, 20%, 30% of those front end buyers. And that's where the money adds up very quick. Mm-hmm. To answer your question, really, it's cheaper from our tests. I mean, we do Facebook ads. We've spent, multiple six figures on Facebook alone. We spent tons of money on YouTube. What's funny is all my friends to this day are basically the quote unquote gurus in these different spaces.
Right.
So I get the behind the scenes numbers on, what Justin's spending on YouTube traffic, and he's spending $300,000 a month solely on YouTube, or what my buddy David is spending, he's spending $4 million a month on social media. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I know the basic numbers on what they're getting, and I know what we're getting, and we spent tons of money on it. And again, dollar for dollar, looking at the research, looking at the numbers, in our experience, offline marketing is way more economical. So to answer your question, do you have to spend $1,000 or $100,000 mailer piece to get started? Of course not. My mentor showed me a case study where he spent $300. For me, my very first mailing was under $1,000, and then I had a loan for $3,500, and I turned $4,500.